Blog Talk Radio.
And will I wonder why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. Michael and I will share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about Michael, or myself, or forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, your co-hosts, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
Hi, and welcome to the show. Today is Recovery Wednesday, February the 1st, 2017. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we do have a switchboard today, and we have a chat room today. So press 1, and that puts you in queue. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael. We're not hearing you, Michael.
Maybe I should click my mute button first.
Yep, that would help. And it's not real clear, so try it again.
Well, I'm on the best microphone I've got. In my mouth. Welcome, everybody. Delighted that you're here. Once again, to engage in this conversation about 4th century Aramaic forgiveness and the power of change that that can bring. We're honored, delighted that you're here to share this space with us and to bring these ancient principles forward to a level of understanding that hopefully becomes critical mass on the planet, becomes available on a global scale. As we talk about this idea of recovery, we are talking not about recovery from a disease or a disorder, but rather recovery of the truth of who we are. We bring back the awareness that the truth of the human being is that the human being is made of love. Hold a newborn child, if you forget that, and you'll get to experience directly what a human life is. And yesterday, seeing as how we had some technical difficulties, we didn't have a switchboard or a chat room, so we just laid out a body of thought that I think were perhaps challenging for a few people. And so I would love to open the floor to the questions to start out with and see if, based on yesterday's show, is there anything that came up or anyone that wasn't clear or that didn't make sense to you or that we could clarify. So, Jeannie, is there anybody in the chat room with a question or a thought or anybody in the phone queue with a hand up?
No, there's nobody with a hand up and no questions going on in the chat room. However, I have texted a couple people. It might be my phone, but you're very blurred. It's very hard for me to hear you. I've rebooted my phone. I've texted a couple people, so if somebody else would text me and let me know if it's coming through clear or blurred or what's happening on that end.
It's very soft.
Okay.
It's very soft.
Well, that's...
Jeannie is clear. Michael, it's like your volume was turned down or you're a little muffled.
And that sounded like that now?
Yeah, it's not great.
Little...
I mean,
let me bring you my headset and let's see if that's better.
Try that and see if it makes any difference. How's that sound?
That's better.
Is that better?
Yep.
Well, we just went from a $150 headset to a $6 headset. I'm not sure why that happens, but what can I say? Let me just try one more headset and see if that's if it makes a difference, and we'll see if we can get the best of the world we can get. Just one second. How's that sound now, Tim? How does that one sound?
Say some more.
Okay, I'll say some more. We're delighted that you're here and glad to have this opportunity to talk about forgiveness and to see what we can do with sound quality.
That's better than the original.
But not as good as the last set I had?
It's close. It's hard to tell.
Well, as long as it's hard to tell, then we're interested.
Genie was just much clearer than even your voice now.
Okay.
It's like there's a static. It's like there's a static in your line, even when there's silence.
Hmm. Well, maybe I need to go out and invest in a really cheap headset because we went from $150. This one's about a $30 headset, and Genie's is about a $6 headset. So I don't know. You expect things are going to get better as you go up the line, but maybe not. Genie, talk to us and let's see how your headset sounds.
But Michael, it might be that you might be calling in and hitting a different cell because, as I said, there's a static that just isn't there when Jeannie's talking on her line.
Right. Okay. So, Jeannie, talk to us. Let's see how that sounds. A little sound check going here. You're muted, challenge, honey.
Okay. It would be clearer
Technology. If
I was unmuted.
There you go.
So, thank you all for being patient with us. We had a couple of comments that the sound wasn't very clear, and we're working on it because we absolutely want this message to get out and everybody to hear it.
Yeah, Jeannie, you're just clear, and the static isn't there when you're talking the way it is with Michael.
Okay. Awesome.
Okay, Jeannie, let me borrow your headset again, and let's see if that makes the difference.
All right.
Tell me the weight of a snowflake, a hawk asked a wild dove.
Well, we had our support group last night, and had 8 people in attendance. It was lovely, and as they always are, and this one was no exception. 8 people plus myself in attendance, and we're talking about in the lecture the idea of tuning into and then dismantling any of the resistance to the flow of creation that wants to move through us and the energy of love that wants to move through us, and then a spirited discussion that triggered some intense emotions for some people, and just looking at how we can make an actual practice of the tools to move us into an experience of our spirituality, of our true nature, more and more in more settings, moving into that 100% responsibility for whatever gets triggered in me. It was lovely. It was, it lives up to its billing as the highlight of my week when I get to do one of those support groups and be part of that loving energy.
Awesome. It is an awesome opportunity. I know that Sunday afternoon the energy was just really flying at the Wise Assembly Weekend Workshop in Boca Raton, and it is just such a delight to be part of that that kind of movement, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So, do I have the static in my sound now?
Yeah, it's not bad. It's just not as clear as Jeannie's connection, and I don't think it's the headset. I think it's the cell connection you have.
Yeah, it must be. So seeing as how we're kind of isolated, we should be on the same cell tower, but who knows? We'll just do the best we can do. So any thoughts for you, Tim, on yesterday's show where we didn't get a chance to do any conversation, so I just kind of rocked out an hour there on energy and physics and science and
As a matter of fact, I even used some of it in the group last night when we were talking about it, that you talked about the piece from the CIA website where they understand that perception is an active thing, not a passive thing, and that our perception doesn't record reality, it constructs reality. And one of the key pieces you were tapping into that just came to you yesterday when you read it is that the CIA website misspeaks when it says the outside stimulation creates, is used to construct the internal reality. And it came to you quite clearly, and it makes very, very good sense, that that is false, that what's constructing the internal reality is what gets resonated inside the person. And the evidence of that is that if the outside stimulation is what is used to construct the reality, everybody would construct the same reality who got hit with the same outside stimulation. Clearly what's happening is the outside stimulation is resonating the content in my mind, my past emotions, traumatic energies, fears, beliefs, biases, etc., and that's what I'm using to construct my reality, and that's how easily I can be standing right next to somebody, shoulder to shoulder, looking at an event and take an entirely different impact and interpretation from that event, because the reality I'm constructing is not being constructed by the external stimuli. It's being constructed internally by whatever's getting resonated by the external stimuli that hit my senses. So that was a critical piece. I thought that was really good. We used that in the group last night, and I thought, you know, you got in the flow there a couple times yesterday, so it was very nice. Nice fill for when we had our technology snafu.
And, you know, it really comes down to the old nurture-nature question. And in fact, it isn't all just the what's stimulated within. It is a mix. You know, there are some situations where the predominant resonant energy that makes up the construct of perception can be from the sensory data coming in. And then there are times when it's totally overwhelmed and it's totally what's stimulated from within. And I think most of the time it's a combination of both. I know way back decades ago when I first heard this conversation that has consumed so much of the world for so long in so many circles, is it nurture or is it nature? To me, it's always been clear it's been both. It's a combination. And there are some cases where one overrides the other and vice versa. But in no case is it strictly one or the other. It's that combination of energies that takes over. And of course, the benefit of having the tools is that if the what's stimulated within us is distorting the construct so that our perception does not accurately represent what's going on in the world, then we've got the tools to clean it up so that that part of the circumstance or the construct is clean and clear and accurate. And you know, ultimately, I think the best we can hope for is that the construct our mind makes is accurate, and then we're going to have the best data to move forward on into the world of actuality.
Agreed.
That make sense for you?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Cool.
And then, you know,
awesome.
the other key for that is that when I learn to read the system accurately, and of course, first, I have to understand that I've been taught to read the system inaccurately, and I've been taught that if I have a discomfort inside me, it means someone or something outside of me has to change. So when I make that critical shift to understanding that a discomfort inside me means the most important thing for me to do is look inside of me, to stop doing the same thing over and over again, and to ask for some assistance from something outside my conscious logical mind, to be shown and then dismantle the source of my discomfort. That critical shift is the next important step to actually make use of these tools.
Absolutely.
Like you said, because you say so many times, people read a book like A Course in Miracles and they read that, you know, you have to forgive. And so they run around forgiving people and things outside of them. And they're trying to apply forgiveness to the external world, and that's not what it's for. The tool of forgiveness is to be applied to my false realities that I'm constructing, the world that I'm constructing inside my head. That's where the error lies.
Right. And, of course, you know, I always have those brain cells about movies, seeing as how we're movie buffs, and if you want to look at that question about nurture nature, Great film. It's hilarious, and it makes some very powerful points. It's called Trading Places, and it's just a really it's a fun movie. Got some hilarious scenes in it, and it really talks about that idea of nature or nurture, and that anybody can shift vibration anytime they choose. So neither one has to control. Well, let's check in and see if that young lady Gail is with us today. Is Gail out there, Jeannie?
She is. I am.
Hey, young lady, how are you?
I am okay today.
Just okay?
Yeah. I think I'm going through a combination of a healing crisis. Not necessarily physical. I would say it's more mental, emotional healing crisis and confusion, grief. And then I've experienced a third death that my cycle tends to be. They come in threes. A really good friend of mine, a sister pigeon, so to speak, her husband died from complications of COPD and emphysema. So there seems to be a pattern with people dying from lung disease of some sort and or, you know, untreated alcoholism type things. So
right.
Anyway, he died this morning at around 3 o'clock a.m. And they had hospice care come in to give him like a 2-hour treatment of morphine. And so anyway, but that's where I'm at. And I was kind of, how we do it in the program, you know, we go around the table and we talk, and I was like, I hope they pass. I hope they forget it is recovery Wednesday, and I'd like to say I'd like to pass today and just listen.
Okay.
But
well, and maybe we can be of some support with you with what's moving for you. Of course, we'll be holding the space. And certainly no need to say anything, but if there's any way we can support you, it sounds like it's really resonated a lot, where perhaps when your brother passed, it seemed like you were pretty attuned to the true being that he is and supporting him and nurturing him and being in some actual joy in his leaving, you know, able to join him in that space. And maybe this is some leftover energy from that or something related in a different area. So if we can support you, we're certainly
I think what it's resonating for me, probably two things. The very sudden death of my grandmother in 84, and then not getting the opportunity to say goodbye to her, and then also my mother's death. With all the drama and trauma that was going on with my stepfather, to not be able to, you know, I was there when she died. I knew who escorted her because the veil was very thin, and I could tell because they were my people too. So it's like I could tell who's here. And that was great, but also to be able to be there, but just a lot of unresolved issues with my mother when she passed, just because of the interference of my stepfather, and so I think that
so
a lot of that stuff
you
coming up.
Yeah, is there an uncancelled goal in regard to your stepfather around your mom's passing?
Yeah. There are several. I know that I've canceled some, and I ended up with great relief, and yeah, I probably need to cancel more goals around
that. Sounds
like
another layer.
Yep.
I hear you. And we're here to hold the space to burn all of that off.
Awesome. And yes, I enjoyed yesterday's show very much. Just why is this happening to me again, 101 or Perception 101. I could listen to that lecture and, or consider it I can listen to that over and over and over again and still learn something new and build the brain cells for it. And I need to hear that because I want to teach and do Y workshops myself, and I need to make your Y workshop my Y workshop. And listening to you over and over again helps me to improve on, look at what I need to present, what's important to present, and what I need to make my own.
And, of course, you can never make your Y workshop my Y workshop, but you can clear your field so that your workshop, your Y workshop, expresses through your unique instrument the best way possible for your unique audience, so that you're attuned to your intuition and are guided into exactly what your individual unique presentation is going to be. So we'll hold the space for that.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's what I meant to say.
Cool.
You said it so well.
Cool. All right. Well, if any thoughts come forward that you'd like some support with, then just, you know, feel free to chime in, and we'll do that.
I'll hit
and
the button or chime in. Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, delighted. So, Jeannie, anything else going on in the chat room, or anybody else with a hand up?
We do have a hand up. It's area code 828. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Hello?
828, you're on the air. Give us a name. Where are you calling
828.
From?
828. Howdy, this is Magda calling from Missouri.
Well, hey there,
hi,
young
everybody.
Lady. How are you? And what's exciting in your
doing
world?
Well. Oh, good things are happening, good things. And I'm so glad that I heard Gail, because I attempted to get online last week. I think it was Wednesday, but maybe it was a different day. And Gail had asked a question about how to send healing energy. I think it was, that was, I didn't actually hear the question, but I heard enough of the answers that I think that's what it was. Anyhow, I just wanted to add a couple of things. Because there was quite a discussion stimulated around that. And so I'll just put my two cents in there. What I have learned to do, okay, what I have developed that whenever I hear, for instance, a siren, and I don't know anything about what's going on, I just automatically send love and light to everyone involved in that situation. And so what I'm intending is that the victim, if you want to call that person a victim, the people, first responders, the families, the friends who will be involved in all of the repercussions, and if there was a perpetrator, yes, the perpetrator as well, and that person's family and friends too, that everyone who is involved by extension will be surrounded with love, and my intention is not to ever to heal someone or something, because I think that's not my business. Love takes care of what it needs to, and so I just intend for the best and highest good of that person in that situation. And what I've learned to do by extension is that if I'm watching a news program or listening to, you know, the news on the radio, I will also do the same thing with situations, news items, perhaps about crimes or political situations. I'll do the same thing with that. So that's my way of sending, and I guess sending is an interesting word, because I think we just actually radiate love. When we're in a loving space, we radiate it, and maybe directing it perhaps instead of sending. I don't know if the words actually make any difference, however. So I wanted to add that, and also tell Gail that I'm certainly in support of what she's going through right now, and radiating love to her and everyone who's involved there as well. Okay? That's it.
I'm agreeing with you. I think that, you know, when we recognize who we are as the presence of love, And we are in that continuous radiating mode. And I think you're exactly right that you can then, you know, hearing about someone who needs support, kind of focus and direct the energy toward them. So I think that's appropriate, and that's exactly how it works.
Yeah, cool. Okay. All righty. And that's my report from Missouri. So.
All right. How's the weather down there today?
Oh, today I think we're doing a little cooler. Yesterday was 60-something, and the day before was even a little warmer. So I guess they say, I'm looking at the thermometer right now, 55? Yeah.
55. Oh, so nice.
Got down to 30. Yeah, very nice. Got down to 30-something last. Yeah, the sun is shining. And so how's your weather?
About the same. About the same. Sunny. Pretty day.
Uh-huh. Lovely.
Pleasant to be outside. It was nice to fly back out of Florida, and I only had shorts, so I'm wearing shorts, and it was reasonable enough temperature arriving in Kansas City that people looked at me a little askance, like, you know, what are you doing in shorts and a T-shirt? But it was, the temperature was reasonable enough to get around without freezing my bippy.
Ah, great. That's so good to hear. Yeah, I was in a situation like that once when I was coming back from Hawaii, and I didn't think ahead about what would be on the other end. And I got stuck in an airport that was absolutely freezing for many more hours than I was supposed to. And nothing was open. I couldn't even go buy a sweater or anything.
So, ouch.
Anyhow, glad you're back. You had a good trip. And
we did.
And sounds like everything went well. Good.
Rock and roll.
Okay, well, good. I will sign off so someone else can get on, and I will continue listening, okay?
Okay, take care. Blessings.
Great. Love you both, all of you. Bye-bye.
Okay. So, Jeannie, anything else happening in the chat room? Recovery Wednesday, recovering the state of true being, the active presence of love, regardless of external circumstance or situation. Certainly there are lots of people who have been thrown off balance in the current political climate in particular. And, of course, most think that the being thrown off balance has to do with what's going on out there, as opposed to, oh, I've just been shown an imbalance in myself. Here's another opportunity for me to balance that part of me. So always coming back to responsibility. It's an inside job, and we're the one who's always got the power to shift what's happening inside of us. Of course, that forgiveness tool that's so urgent, you can't overestimate the power of the active presence of love. And then when you engage in recognizing that whatever it is that's out of balance that I'm feeling is in me, and by bringing forward the active presence of love, I can rebalance it, then it's just an awesome insight and opportunity. So anybody else with a hand up? Chat room.
I have a little information to pass on from the chat room. I told Nene we'd talk to her after the radio show, but she is scheduled for this Sunday, February the 5th, to do a Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing at the Vortex where we were, where we did the Y workshop. And
awesome.
That's going to be from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., and we'll get that information out there. But and then they're working on the support group, so I told her we'd talk to her after the radio show on that. She can't talk right now, but she is listening. And she did ask, could you repeat the glycerin and the drop of ink effect?
Would I repeat that experiment?
Yeah, just
sure.
Explain
sure.
That experiment again and how that applies.
Yes. Well, the experiment was set up so that a glass tube is set in the center of a turnstile at a place where it's stationary. And then a second glass tube is placed over it, so there's, you know, maybe an inch or 2 inch, I don't know what the space was, between the two tubes, which is then filled with glycerin. So if you imagine there's a space of maybe an inch or an inch and a half or what have you, that's filled with this kind of a thick, it's a little bit of a syrupy substance, glycerin. And the center glass tube is stationary, the outside tube, turntable. So you drop a drop of ink in the glycerin between the two glass surfaces. So in between the stationary tube and the rotating tube, you drop a drop of ink. The outside glass cylinder is turning. And as it turns, what was a clear drop of ink in the beginning, all of a sudden the ink starts to distribute itself. The drop starts to turn oblong, elongates, eventually turns into a long string, and then disappears. So the ink is now enfolded in the glycerin, and it's invisible. So one might say, well, there's obviously no ink there, and therefore might conclude that, seeing as how you can't see the ink, then it could not possibly be having an effect because it's not there. Well, that's appearance. What they were able to do was to reverse the turning of the outer cylinder, and as the outer cylinder is reversed, over time, all of a sudden, the ink reforms itself into a string. The string gets thicker and shorter and comes back to the point where you've got the original drop of ink back. So what was enfolded in the glycerin that had been in a suspended state where it was invisible because it was so diffused reconstitutes itself and becomes the drop of ink again. Obviously, it was there all along, and to recognize how that fits or what that has to do with our human energy system is that there are all kinds of things that are in us that we look and we say, well, that's not there because I can't see it. And if imagine that the molecules of ink, let's say, even though they've been distributed throughout the glycerin, let's say they're radioactive. That radioactivity sets up an impact, but even though you can't see the source of it, it's obviously having an impact. It's shifting things around it. Well, in the same way, in the human energy system, if throughout our generations, that drop of ink, so to speak, hatred, fear, sadness, guilt, grief, condemnation, gossip, slander, vengeance, whatever, has been dropped into the system, then over time it becomes enfolded and disappears, at least becomes invisible. But its impact is still there. And, you know, if you look at everything as energy, you know, we talked about Tesla saying, if you want to understand the secrets of the universe, you've got to think in terms of energy, vibration, and frequency. So those frequencies of hatred radiate an energy field. They are radioactive in a sense, in that the movement of that frequency within the body creates an impact in the body, in the cells of the body, in the emotions of the person feeling it. And a person says, well, I don't know where all this hatred's coming from. I look inside me, I don't see any. But all of a sudden I'm feeling it. Why? Well, it's so dispersed throughout the system that it seems to have disappeared. And what we're saying is that as you reverse things in your life, as you're willing to go back and embrace those things, those energetic patterns, which have so dissipated within us that they appear to not be there, as you begin the healing process, you will reconstitute those things. They will come back to their integrated form as the drop of ink comes back, or appears to come back. And that when that happens, and my offering is that that's one of the reasons why healing isn't all that popular in the world, because if you've gone through, let's say three generations ago, somebody went through a really deep, painful hatred experience, and that's been enfolded in the genes and in the energy system of the generations, who's the person 2, 3, 4, 10 generations down that wants to reconstitute that, take a hold of it, face that intense hatred directly, and throw it out? Our invitation to you is that you become that person. and that you take everything that has been enfolded within your energy system through all your generations. You know, look at step two in the worksheet. I'm willing to become empowered enough to deal with every trauma of my generations, to recapture that energy that's been enfolded in me, and as I do, to feel its impact, which again is not always Dr. Feelgood, and I'm willing to develop the strength and the skill and the ability to throw it out. And so that would be that experiment and why and how it would apply, that as you start going back and dealing with the energetic patterns in your life, they are going to, like the drop of ink re-solidifies, they are going to re-solidify in great detail. And, you know, to develop the faculty, the capacity to be able to decode those energetic patterns. Intuition is one of the faculties that will help in doing that, and to be guided as to what that energy is about, and then to be able to throw it out. You know, Gail gave us a very powerful example a couple of weeks ago on Recovery Wednesday, when she was doing a worksheet on abundance, and all of a sudden found herself feeling like she was laying on the ground and looking over at a horse that was injured and couldn't get up, and was able to go in and decode that, touch into what that was about, what the feelings, where the feelings came from, and how they'd impacted her life. So it's very much like reversing the outer cylinder, taking that which had been invisible in the system and reconstituting it, being able to take a hold of it and process through it. And, of course, the definition of processing in this work is the ability to keep love conscious, active, and present when something less than love comes up, and to be able to dissolve it. So I hope that answers the question, and if there's any more to it, if you can't call in to ask today, then just send a text to Jeannie, and we'll do our best to make it as clear as possible. In the meantime, Jeannie, anything else happening in the chat room? Anybody got a hand up in the phone queue?
No, there's no other hand up, and I think that's all the questions in the chat room. So our call-in number is 563-999-3581, and press 1. And this is Recovery Wednesday, so if anybody has any questions, you know, we generally talk about recovering our being, not necessarily recovering from an addiction, but it's kind of the same thing. If you have any questions on that, today's the day that we focus on that one.
And sometimes we have folks who wait till the last minute and a half, and then, oh, there's not enough time, so there's time. And without any waiting, if you've got a question for us, push 1. You know, if I'd have presented that presentation I did yesterday in your hometown, those ideas, you know, if I'd have been in your local library or university or church and presented that and walked down off the stage, I know there'd be 1,000 questions. Every person in the audience would have had questions about that yesterday. And some would have come up and addressed me. Most of them would say, I just have a quick question, because that's what virtually everybody says. Might be a 2-hour answer, but I just have a quick question. But, you know, if you've got that question, now's the time to ask it. If you push 1 and you're in the phone queue, you'll be next in line with no waiting. How can we support you? What part of this whole idea of energy can we help to make clearer for you? If you push 1, your hand will go up and we'll be having a conversation. Beyond that, if we don't have a hand up, then let's talk a little bit. We're getting down close, getting down to the wire for intensives starting at the 1st of March. We're just a month away now. By the way, this is our second day and our 7th anniversary, 7 years of doing the show, started yesterday. So this is 7 years plus a day today. And all of those archives are there on our website. You can just go in and click the date. And Jeannie's just done a great job of doing some awesome notes that will key you into what each topic is. And if you happen to listen to a show where there are not notes, we would sure appreciate it if you take a few minutes and just give us an outline of what you heard in that show that we can just put on there so that somebody searching for something has an idea of what a particular show is about. But starting the, I guess it's the 3rd of March, Jeannie, you'll be doing a 5-day de-stressing for women. Tell us what's going to happen in that 5-day, Jeannie. It's really going to be getting the stress you need and de-stressing, isn't it?
So I'm going to be covering, of course, the reality management, the forgiveness work, and I'm going to be talking a lot about stress. We'll touch in a little bit on how healing looks, and we'll be doing yoga on the beach. However, I have now set a date of February 15th. If anybody's interested in that one, I need to know before February 15th. I don't have anybody locked into that one yet, and if I don't have somebody or a few somebodies by February 15th, that one will not happen. However, I do have a really good group signed up for the 4-day Women Healing Women, which follows one day after the 5-day, and I don't have my thing open here, so I don't have the exact dates on it. But anyway, the Women Healing Women, we deal a lot with women's issues, whether it's abuse, whether it's mental, physical abuse. What last one that I did, I think 11 out of 13 had had some kind of physical abuse, whether it was sexual or mental, and there were at least 2 or 3 that had experienced abortions and the guilt and all the all the stuff that comes along with having that experience. And so it's just issues that women feel more comfortable talking about just in the space of other women. And with other women holding the space, that it increases the ability to heal. And so we'll be working on that. Those dates for the 4-day is March the 9th through the 12th. And that one also has a February 15th deadline that I need a confirmation of at least half of the fee to confirm a space in that one. But right now we have 10, I think, in that one. So that'll be a good group on that. And then you move into the 9-day intuitive development.
You're right. And you might want to let everybody know that if you're doing the 4-day and you also register for the 5-day de-stressing, getting the stress you need de-stressing, then there's a day off in between, and that day off will be a freebie. You'll get the stay on the beach for free. You'll get the awesome fresh and raw food, the whole program. And so that'll be a free day. And or if you're doing the 4-day Women Healing Women, you can also register for the 9-day intuitive development that starts on the 17th. And there are, if I remember correctly, 4 days in between that are off. And in that 4 days off, we're going to do some still point breathing, and we're going to do a program that we usually do only in the 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again, and that is we're going to do the hands-on energy field work training. So we're going to make that part of the 4 days off. And if you're registered for the 4-day Women Healing Women and the 9-day Intuitive Development, that 4-day in between, again, is a freebie. So there will be no fee for staying on the beach for 4 days. You can do some vacation time. You know, come and go as you please, and we'll be doing the fresh and raw food. As I say, we will do, and it will be a free day, where we'll do the hands-on energy field work training. And we're going to plan to do some still point breathing in that process too. So there's a nice bonus there, especially if you pick up the 2 intensives on each side, the intensives on each side of that 4-day. So we'll be stepping into a 9-day intuitive development, and that's a real practical move. Of course, too, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? As part of it, that's part of every intensive. And we'll be doing still point breathing. And then the rest of the time will be spent really developing that intuitive faculty, really strengthening the ability to gather information without recourse to the mind, to develop the higher faculties that give us the ability to go directly to the experience in the world, not have to go through the physical senses. So it's powerful to have feedback, to have people who are right there with you, and the intuitive exercises are designed to work with the person who is your partner in the intensive. And, for most people, when they first start to do intuition, it's like they're making it up. And what I've found is that this workshop gives people the space to experience the difference between making it up, just a fantasy, and really tapping into their intuition. And that helps to bring the intuitive faculty forward in a much more powerful way. So we'll be doing that starting on March 17th. And we'll complete that workshop. It'll go the 17th to the 25th. And then the evening of the 25th, we're going to start a four-day codependence to interdependence. So that'll include, again, the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop, and then codependence to interdependence, and still point breathing. We'll all be part of that intensive. And we had scheduled a 9-day Course in Miracles. Some people have been asking us to do that over the last couple of years. And we just didn't get much response to it, so we've shifted that to where we're going to do a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again. So the latter part of March, on into April, we'll do a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again on the beach in Oak Island, North Carolina, about an hour or so just south of Wilmington. We've got an awesome 7-bedroom, 6.5-bath house right on the beach. You step out the door, you'll be in the sand. 100 feet from the door is the beach. It's the ocean. So it ought to be a pretty awesome time there in March and April. So come and join us. And beyond that, we're just kind of going to be heading back to Missouri. And, of course, the summer intensives will begin in July. We are going to, it looks like we're going to add a, and maybe Richard's out there would put his hand up and talk a little bit about what we're going to build, because the in the Food Fund Forgiveness and Work Program, and that's a 10-day that we normally do every year just to kind of get the property ready for intensive. So it's kind of an economy program. During the day, we do work projects on the property, and then in the evening, we do a workshop each evening, and then Saturday we do Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. Well, Richard Eshelman has designed a growing structure for growing food, enhancing the energy dynamics of growing food. And we're going to build a grow center for Heartland, a large one. And then everybody will have the opportunity to build a smaller one for themselves. The cost of it looks like it's going to be around $100. So in addition to the fee for the Food Fund Forgiveness, we're going to add a couple of days. And then you'll be able to take your own growing structure home. And you'll know how to build one if you decide you want to expand it. It's modular, so you can make it out of several different pieces of the design, repeat the design. You'll learn how to design it and build it and put it all together. So, and it'll be portable, so you can take it home. It's easily disassembled and can be taken home and then just zip, put back together. So if Richard's out there, Jeannie, has Richard got his hand up by any chance? No? Okay. You're mute challenge, but I could hear you through the house. He's not there. Okay, cool. Well, then, you know, we're going to move from the 10-day, and it'll probably be 12, maybe 13 days now with the growing room, if you want to participate in that part of it. Then we'll step into doing a 16-day Laws of Living. We'll be doing a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again, a 9-day teacher training, and so you can see the schedule on the website with the intensives. Now, the Food Fund Forgiveness is not an intensive. It's kind of an economy program. I believe the 10 days is $700 for everything, food, accommodations, workshop materials. And we will be doing some cooked food during that time, but it's going to be some super gourmet stuff. Ari assures he's got more new recipes that he's bringing that we'll be doing some pretty awesome food during that 10 days. So you can check the checkwhyagain.org. Up on the right-hand side, you'll see the word flyers. If you click on that, that'll take you through that whole schedule. And we'll also be in Wilmington, North Carolina, the last week of February. So in about 3 weeks, we'll be beginning a full week of free workshops at Wilmington Unity. Jeannie?
I was just going to say it's $750 for the 10 days. And then we'll add on to it for the 2 days.
Right. Cool. Very good. All right, so if there's a thought, anybody has a question about that, a question about anything we're talking about, or a way that we can support you in your recovery journey and recovering the being that you are, the truth of the presence of love in your life, how can we support you? What kind of thoughts, what kind of questions do you have? I know you've got a question. Go ahead, push one, it's okay. Oftentimes people are shy, oh, my voice might be shaky, I don't know if I can do this. You know, it's no big deal. So if you're shy, your voice is shaky, so what? Ask a question. That's how you get support. Step out there. Just reach out and touch somebody. Beyond that, any other thoughts for you, Dr. Tim?
Well, I was just looking up somebody from the support group last night posted something on Facebook, a poetic way to discuss the idea from Yayam's talk last night. In the Way of Mastery, one of the concepts is that we come to think of ourselves as alone and separate and small and helpless and a victim. And one of the primary, the first axiom in the Way of Mastery is that you don't experience anything that you have not asked to experience. So there is no such thing as a victim, only volunteers. That's a line you use quite often. And the point is that we interpret from our physical senses, from the data points hitting us and the way we've been trained through the bloodline, to think that we're alone, that we're separate, that we're isolated, that we're small, and that we're powerless. And the example, the picture that's used in the Way of Mastery is the idea that we identify with a tiny little piece of foam on the top of a wave that's arisen from an ocean. And it's there for just a brief moment before the wave crashes back down into the ocean and the foam is dissipated. And we have come to identify with ourselves, who we are, as this tiny little piece of foam, and it's a victim, and it's, you know, so important, but it's only temporary. And the concepts and the techniques that are taught in a Way of Mastery, the exercises that are suggested, are a way of moving us into a space where we can begin to have the experience of ourselves as that tiny bit of foam and as the ocean and connected to the depth of the ocean at the same time. And it was not registering for some people in the group, and they said, so, you know, can you say that in different words? And I said, okay, if I'm walking down the street and I'm feeling the temperature of the day and my clothes on me, and I'm either thinking I'm pretty handsome and accomplished, or I'm thinking I'm nobody, I'm identifying with the circumstances right there in that moment. That's the idea of identifying with a tiny piece of foam on the top of the wave. And then most of us who are on this kind of spiritual journey have either heard or have had an experience where we went into one of those peak emotional experiences or those spiritual experiences where the body seemed to disappear and there was no time and there was no space and all was love, or all these kinds of words that people use. There is that kind of an experience that's available. And the point of the Way of Mastery is not that we should do everything we can to experience ourselves as infinite, but that we should be doing these practices so that we can be aware of and experience both my walking through the world down the street, dressed as I'm dressed, experiencing the weather, seeing the people around me, and in that same moment of awareness, be feeling the connection to my source, be feeling the depth of the ocean that gave rise to me, be feeling that external lack of form and that extension into all and the lack of time at the very same time I'm in the world. And this is what they talk about as being in the world but not being of the world, being able to expand my awareness to the point where I can be in touch with the sensations that have previously led me to think I'm nothing but this isolated little person, At the same time, I'm aware of the experience of connection to the oneness of all, to the creative force of love, to the depths of the ocean itself that gave rise to the wave. So maybe that's resonated some brain cells for you.
Cool. Absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the things that the kings and power brokers do, and this happens with messages given by parents to children and teachers to children and rabbis and ministers and business people to children, is to give them messages that are consistent with feeling small and helpless and hopeless. And I think that those messages are often purposely implanted or just unconsciously passed from generation to generation. And when those feelings are resonated again, if one doesn't know how to crack them and forgive them, then one seems to be stuck in that feeling of smallness. You know, somebody raises their voice, and they were taught by a power person that you're small, you're hopeless, you have no power at all, and I have all the power. And that's the very moment where the application of forgiveness can be extremely powerful to dissolve that false message and step back into that connection to Source and the truth of who you are, and recognizing that you have as much power as any human being that has ever lived, including Yeshua himself. You know, he says the things I do, you can do in greater. He puts you in the same category. So what are we capable of? But, you know, kings put in messages of hopeless, helpless weakness, and those are things that need to be, each time they surface, dissolved. And, of course, the first century Aramaic tool of forgiveness is how to do that. If you have not availed yourself of that tool as yet, we invite you to go to our website, www.whyagain.org. And the first two words on the page are "Start Here." Click the "Start Here" button. That'll take you into a whole series of links. That series of links will unfold, and you know, if you just follow the links through, it'll give you videos to watch. It will give you instructions. It'll give you access to 17 different radio shows where we've walked somebody through the whole forgiveness process. That whole wake up sheet, step by step, custom instructions. So all the free support you want is right there on the website. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of recorded material are all free. Of course, there's also paid support. If you feel like this is something worth supporting, then your purchase of CDs and DVDs become support for carrying this work forward on a global scale. If you feel like this radio show is something that supports you, then you can jump on our website, and there's a donate button. Just give it a click and donate. Some people do a recurring monthly donation, and basically what happens with any donations you choose to make is that they'll be used to take this work farther and farther afield until we get to the point where we literally reach critical mass and there is understanding of these principles of how the universe works, how the creative process works. And so that's what we're here to do. We're delighted to support you. And we hold the space for you to have the best year yet of your eternal life. It is an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and myself, Jeannie Rice, as we present the Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here every Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more on Michael or myself or Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.